I'm Mari Dangerfield, and you're listening to Sound of Stylus, a podcast all about the stylophone and the people who do cool things with it. This series is sponsored by MusoSoup. MusoSoup is a platform that seamlessly matches artists and their songs to a curated selection of blogs, playlists, influencers, and radio stations. At the click of a button, artists can opt into a range of free or paid offers pitched directly to them, so they can be sure what they choose is suited to their budget and to them. Thanks to MusoSoup, my music has featured on R Sound Music, York Calling, Sound V System, Mystic Suns, and more. So, if you're looking for coverage for your new or upcoming release, head to musosoup.com or check the description. The Wackids are a musical trio consisting of Blowmaster, aka Nicolas, Speedfinger, aka Yusuf, and Bongo Star, aka Cyril, who have taken France and the internet by storm with their entertaining and unique use of children's musical toys to play covers from a spectrum of musical genres. With over 100,000 YouTube subscribers, 10 million views, and a wildly popular touring show, they call themselves the Masters of Rock and Toys. Nicolas and Yusuf join me to discuss how the band made miniature musical instruments their thing and why the stylophone belongs in their musical universe. Hello, it's lovely to meet you.
Hello, how are you doing?
Great, lovely to meet you. Thank you so much for joining me here on the podcast today. I'm so excited to speak to you. So the first question I have is, why did you decide to call yourselves the Wackids? Has it got anything to do with being wacky? Because in English, we say that something wacky is something funny, a little bit strange.
Okay. So originally, I mean, the band is like 20 years old, and we started playing in the street, and then once we were invited to play in an English pub in Bordeaux, our city, south of France, and we had another name, which we're not gonna mention now because it sounded very stupid, but the pub wrote something like, "Come tonight to listen to the wacky sound of," I don't even remember the name. And so we liked that that word, wacky. So we actually changed the name to the Wackies, and that playing more and more in a in an environment of, you know, families and kids and stuff. We changed again and we passed it to Wackids, which is now like the stable name that we have.
Okay, so from what I can gather, you've been going for quite a long time now. As you were saying, about 10 years.
20, yeah.
20, goodness, even more than I thought. 20 years you've been going now.
Yeah, so, we don't look that old, I know.
No, that's great. You're very, very youthful in everything you do. So it's no surprise you seem like you're brand new. Can you tell us more about how you first started as a band, how you came up with the concept of using exclusively children's musical toys?
Well, it started, as I said, it was the band started as a busking band in the street in our city, Bordeaux. I'm not an original member, but the original member is here.
Yes, Nicolai is waving his hand.
Yeah, so Nico started with the two others, and it started as a, you know, normal busking band, playing normal instruments, and they had, you know, like normal effect. One day, Nicolai brought a small xylophone, you know, like this colored xylophone that he found, I don't know where, in some kid's room. And he started soloing on it. The idea was that they were playing covers, you know, rock and roll covers. And so he started to solo on this, and people stopped and they stayed. And so came the idea that, okay, so this children toys and stuff might work. So they started bringing more and more toys and mini instruments and children instruments. This is how it started. This is how all the concepts of rock and toys started. And the idea is really playing covers of songs that we liked with these instruments. And so, and this really, it went to, you know, it was a success in the street. People were actually stopping, which is a pretty complicated challenge to stop people in the street. And from there, it started, you know, we started playing in pubs and festivals and whatever, and we got to where we are today.
That's amazing. So you basically discovered that if you got, was it a xylophone rather than a stylophone? A xylophone.
It was
it really got people's attention
by accident.
So I thought we would delve a little bit more into actually how the stylophone comes into the picture as well. So looking at the list of musical instruments you've included in your setup to date, you have the automatote, boom whackers, you've got a miniature drum kit, and a 2007 stylophone S1. How did you discover the stylophone, and why did you decide it would make a useful tool in your arsenal?
So basically, we don't remember when exactly we discovered it, but the thing is, it really it fit exactly to our concept because it looks like a toy. See what I mean? And it sounds great. So we started using it all the time. And initially, we would play it acoustic, and then we started plugging it when we started playing in bigger venues with bigger amplification, and it's basically one of our main how do you say attractions, because as you said, our set is all made of either mini instruments, like real instruments for children, so mini guitars, mini drums, mini bass and stuff like that, and then a whole set of different gadgets which feature stylophone, automaton, the boom whackers, etc. And stylophone, yeah, it's really an instrument that we play a lot, that we use in different how do you say configurations. And yeah, that's the story, yeah.
So you basically, it's kind of that idea of the novelty of it and also the practicality of it. So the novelty of something that gets people's attention, like you found with that initial xylophone, and also the fact that it fits into that kind of children's toy environment, and it's also a very practical tool, I guess, in your kit for many different contexts.
Exactly, and it allows us to play to give a different sound that can sound that it has really a specific sound that how can I explain that? I mean, we it fits to the sound that we try to give. This is a very good tip that Nico's telling me. Basically, he compares stylophone to a trumpet, but you can actually fit it wherever you want. You can play it in whichever configuration, and it sounds good.
And that's something that many people seem to find that I've been speaking to from these different episodes in the podcast is that the stylophone is kind of a chameleon. It's moldable. It can kind of fit into any context that you want it to fit into. And in your
Exactly.
case, it's particularly suited, I think. So I don't know if you're aware. I'm sure you are aware, actually. But there are other models of the stylophone that have since been released. But so far, you've consistently stuck to the 2007 version. Is there a particular reason for that?
So let's separate our activity in two things. Our main activity is play live music, live concerts, which is like today, the show that we have. And then we developed by accident something on the web, okay? Which, as you said, as you mentioned, we have, I don't know how many now, 170,000 followers on YouTube and stuff like that. This is not our main activity, but it happened because we started having fun when we had day offs, and we put it online, and it had certain success. So the 2007 version, the good thing about it is that we can use it live. It's tuned. We can tune it easily. It doesn't untune so easily, and we can actually play a whole song with it. With the rest of the instruments also around it, so this is mainly we it's very practical for us to use it live. We can use the and also the beatbox. The beatbox we also use live. Maybe you haven't seen it much because lately in the last show we haven't you've been using it, but we're going to use it in the new one. So these are the ones that we use most live. We have the I don't remember the name of the telephone, the analog telephone. X generation telephone, which is great, but it's hard to use live because you have to tune it all the time, and it's a bit complicated. But when we use it on a video, like I think it's possible because it's a short video. We're not moving. We're in a place where there's no heat, no cold, so it works. But to play it live in the shows, the way we play it, it's more complicated. This is the main reason.
Got
It's
you.
more practical actually than really a choice of sound or
Understood. So when you're coming up with a new toy cover version, this is Nicholas we're talking to now, who is the arranger for the WAKIDS. What's kind of on your mind when you're considering adding a stylophone to the arrangement, whether that's the S1 beat or something else in the range?
Well, every time we work on a new cover, we have to find a fun instrument. And stylophone is always one of the first that comes to our minds because it sounds fun and it's tuned, which are two very, very nice things. And like Yusef said later, it's like a trumpet. So every time we have a solo to play, and we have every time we have a theme to play, we use the stylophone because, like a trumpet, it will always be the first instrument that will be heard, and the sound will be funny from the first notes. And which is more funny again with the stylophone is when you put two together, like doing harmonies with stylophones, and even like we're three musicians, we sometimes use the stylophone with three harmonies different. And this is real fun. But it's really like a trumpet. You can put it everywhere and it will be nice every time.
I agree. It really stands out, doesn't it, from any musical texture. And it has that lovely lead ability, certainly. So going back to your YouTube videos that you just mentioned a second ago, Yusuf. Your first video on your YouTube channel was in 2012, and it was a live cover version of Satisfaction by the Rolling Stones, featuring a 2007 S1. You've since made videos featuring S1 solos, duets and trios, Gen X ones, and the now retired Stylophone Beatbox, though you've said you still use it. Your most recent video was uploaded in 2022, and it's a cover of All I Want for Christmas Is You, which is very timely for the time that we're recording this. And it's obviously by Mariah Carey. So it features a stylophone trio, as you'll remember, and it shows us all we need to know about your ability for turning the limitations of a children's toy into a catchy and entertaining sound world. So how do you approach your musical arrangements when it comes to all the toys in your setup?
First, it always has to be funny. That's the first fact before the writing of the arrangements. And when you write the arrangements, it's just like we have three violins or three trumpets. So we have one stylophone to do the main theme, and then we choose sometimes one stylophone to do the bass lines and one other to do the harmonies or like backing vocals. You can do everything, and that's how we write it. When we played Satisfaction, it was quite simple. I think there's only one stylophone, and it's the main theme. And it was quite funny to play a very famous guitar riff with a one and only stylophone. And when we worked on Mariah Carey, All I Need for Christmas Is You, I think that there's an harmony between two stylophones. So I write it just like if I wrote two vocals or two trumpets or two violins. It's in fact it's quite simple and always fun.
So certainly, it's certainly very fun. I've certainly enjoyed watching many of your videos.
Thanks.
So, you've also turned some of those covers into actual records. Your most recent one being an EP called Back to the 90s. And that was released in 2021, and that's the same name as your tour as well that you're currently on. This included a cover version of All Right by Supergrass, which I have to say is one of my favorites. It features a 2007 S1 for the main riff. So, when it comes to recording your toy instrument covers, how do you go about integrating the stylophone smoothly into them in terms of kind of the recording and the mixing of the instruments together?
The fact is, we don't do anything. The stylophone does everything. You just have to play one note, and it goes above the drums, the bass, the guitars, the voices. And the thing is, it's the question is how not to make the stylophone too loud in the mix. So we have to make a very very special attention with that. But it's again, I will repeat myself, but the best comparison is the trumpet. You can in Penny Lane when there is from the Beatles, when there is the trumpet solo, you can have any kind of other instruments. The only thing you will hear is the trumpet solo. The stylophone is the same thing when you record it in the mix. You know, it will always be easy to hear a stylophone. It will be hard to hear a guitar, a bass, some organs, but the stylophone, you play one note and you only hear this note.
Certainly, that's certainly true. And when you combine several stylophones together, because some of the guests that I've spoken to, and certainly I have experienced this as well, there can be certain little pitfalls that come along the way. Is there anything that you do to deal with that?
No,
No.
we never had this kind of problems, and we used several stylophones together in studio recordings and also in live. We used to play Bohemian Rhapsody live, and like all the opera part was played
Wow.
with only three stylophones.
Gosh.
But we never had any kind of problem of phasing of it's really a magical instrument, very simple to play, very simple to record, very simple to make arrangements with, and so fun. And the more you have stylophones, we only had three stylophones together, but I think if we had a band with six or seven members, it would be so fun. We often use the sound two or three, never quite the one. The first sound you can have on the old versions of stylophone is a little bit detuned compared with the other, but he's the funniest one. But we always use the sound number two or the sound number three. And
Okay.
with these two sounds, the two and the three, no need to, we never had any kind of problems.
Very interesting. So you keep it to a maximum of three stylophones on the recording project. Is that what you're saying
Yeah.
as well? Yeah.
Maybe, yes, maximum three, maybe on the song two, Blur song two that we recorded. I guess maybe there are four.
Okay.
But the more they are, the funniest it is.
So let's step away from the stylophone for a moment. Presumably you learnt to play the non-children's instruments before you learnt to play the children ones, and before you became the Wackids. So have you ever been involved in any other musical projects, any solo releases perhaps?
Yes, before the Wackids and still now, we always have many other projects. And I play the piano. I
Oh,
play the
lovely.
keyboard, so which is quite simple for me to play the stylophone, which is like a mini keyboard. And I make like studio recordings for other people.
Oh, very cool.
And Youssef has his own project with his own songs on which I play the keyboard too. We play with real instruments this time.
Okay, so it's not all children's instruments then.
No.
Okay. Well, that's very cool. Is there anywhere people can find these projects?
Oh, you can find it on YouTube, Deezer, Spotify, like all the streaming platforms.
Okay, and what names do you release under on these projects?
It's under his name is Youssef Abado, Abado.
Okay. Very cool.
No stylophone on this
Oh, no
project.
stylophone. Ah, oh well. I'm sure it's still wonderful. So we move on to the tour. We move into mentioning your tour, which you're currently on at the moment. I'm talking to you from a dressing room, I believe, which is very
Yeah.
cool. Before we go on to anything else, I'm curious about sort of. You say you started out in pubs and busking.
Yes.
What took you from pubs and busking to pretty much sell out stadium tours across France? I mean, that feels like such an enormous trajectory.
In the streets and in the pubs, people are not here to hear you.
They are here to do shopping, to drink, or to eat, but not to hear musicians. So as a musician, when you play in the streets and in the pubs, you have to catch the attention of the people. So you have to talk to the people between the songs. You have to work on arrangements that will catch people's attention, like funny solos or everything that's entertaining. And we have always kept this from this time. So every time we play now in like nice theaters, people they come to hear music and to hear musicians. But we have always keep this thing is that we keep talking to the audience, we keep entertaining the audience, and we keep doing funny things in the arrangement. So it's I think you can. This is the best school to learn how to be a musician, like playing in the streets, in the pubs, playing in places where people don't come to hear music, and then you have to catch them.
That's a very interesting perspective. Certainly agree with you there, from having busked myself. And I've seen many people, I don't know if you've seen on YouTube, there are people that broadcast their busking experiences, and there can be some very trying experiences there. People throwing things at them, unplugging their equipment, all sorts of things. And so it's certainly kind of a,
yes.
And you say you're put through the mill when you're doing busking, certainly, and pubs as well. People talking over you and such. It sort of reminds me, I think, of do you remember that side of the court jester? If I talk about the court jester, kind of has to impress the king. And they have to come up with the most interesting trick to impress the king. It kind of reminds me of that, the way that you put it. That's a very good way of putting it, yeah. And you're all the better for it as musicians, I'm sure. So as I said, you're currently on tour across France. What city are you in at the moment?
We are actually near Paris for 3 days in the same theater. Then on Sunday, we'll be in Toulouse, which is in the south of France, and next week back to Paris, and I guess we've got a last date in December in Bordeaux near our house.
Very cool, amazing. So when audiences come and see you on this tour, what can they expect, and why is it a 90s theme?
So people coming to see us in concerts now, they want to have fun, and they want to hear what they heard when they were teenagers. And like it's a family show, they come with the kids. So they are always proud to tell the kids, hey, dad, you used to listen to this, mom used to listen to that song. So it's quite fun, and we are very happy to play a show about the 90s. Because we were like 12 or 10 or 15 in the 90s, and we were really dreaming to be Lenny Kravitz, to be Blur, to be the Gallagher brothers. And so it's like our dreams came true.
Oh, that's so lovely. And it's a very smart move as well, I think, because obviously you're thinking about the parents. He'll also relate to that. And obviously the kids, they'll be very much entertained as well by the songs and by your unique live show as well.
The kids are really impressed, like the Hello Kitty microphone. And most of the kids have the Hello Kitty microphone in their rooms. So they saw us, they saw us singing Rage Against the Machine in the Hello Kitty microphone or singing Nirvana. So they can tell us, oh, I can do this when I go back because I've got the same instrument at home. It's like parents will like it for a certain thing, and the kids don't like it for another thing.
Yes, that's very, very smart. You've clearly thought this project through very, very thoroughly. So it's no surprise to me that you've managed to scale up to a stadium level.
Yeah.
No, and it's great that you said that the kids have maybe the same gear at home as well, because obviously it's children's toys, and then they're kind of, oh, that's so cool. Maybe I could learn to play an instrument as well. And you're sort of inspiring a new generation of musicians as well.
Yes, that's the goal of the show, that we want children to come back home and to tell themselves, I can do it. I have a little drum. I have little drums at home because we've got little drums too. So I can be a drummer in a rock show. Because when kids, they go to stadiums to see like Coldplay or Muse, they don't have the instruments at them. They don't have a real piano. They don't have a real drums. I'm giving piano lessons sometimes, and some of my students, they have stylophone. They have
Oh, very
fun.
cool.
And the fact to see the WA kids playing stylophone, it's the same thing. They go home and they, oh, I've got the same instrument. I can do the same thing.
And of course, the xylophone is one of the most accessible of those instruments for
Yeah.
children as well, in terms of getting into learning the piano. Yeah.
Definitely, it's very simple to play xylophone, make tests with xylophone, to have fun with this instrument without really being a real musician.
So, go back to your covers, which one of which is you did live, certainly. So your live cover version, which I've seen on YouTube, of Wannabe by the Spice Girls. Hey, the Spice Girls. It uses boom whackers. It looks very, very fun. And it shows us that you have a real comedic element to the shows as well. What brings you the most joy as a band when you're performing?
The jokes, definitely.
Oh, you have
Definitely.
jokes in the set?
Yeah. Yeah, we have to have jokes because as we play, like, you're playing the Spice Girls with boom whackers, and you are three men, like 40 years old each. So you can't be serious. You have to make jokes, and we like them because when you play the same song for, I don't know, 100, 200 times, in the end you can be bored of the song. But if you make jokes, you are never bored of jokes. So what I prefer in the show is when I play Wannabe with Boom Whackers, when I do Metallica solo on my stylophone, when Youssef play the automaton, all the jokes part, we never get rid of them.
Well, actually, since we play covers, and I mean, anybody can play covers, let's say that the thing that, you know, as you know, the thing that identifies us is that we play on the small instruments. But in order for the song that we play to be an event, we have to create an event in the middle. And in general, it's a solo. And in general, we construct the song thinking on how are we going to bring the main event, which is, let's say, mainly in the solo, and which instrument we're going to use, whether it's automaton or a stylophone or whichever. So it's important for us to identify. Basically, we will almost choose the song according to the event, the main event that's going to happen in the middle. That's going to be musical. That's supposed to be musical and slightly nice to hear, but mainly comic. I mean, it's of course it's musical. Of course, we're going to play it as well as possible, and it's supposed to be well played. But the joke, as Nico said, the joke is interesting because when he's mentioning jokes, it's not like we spend the whole show saying jokes, because the show is written. I mean, the humor is already in the text, but also the joke is when we play, as he said, when we play in boom whackers. We're playing Wannabe by the Spice Girls with boomwhackers, and we all look 40, 50 years old. This is like the joke part. This is where people really laugh, and this is what really, in the end of the show, what we really stay with is how much people laughed to these main comic events. You see what I mean?
Okay. So the jokes are kind of the actual performances in themselves, kind of little
moments.
Yeah, I mean,
our show is really... rock and toy comic show, you know, comic musical show. Because again, we're playing covers. I mean, let's not forget that we're playing covers, okay? The thing that makes us today be who we are and be able to tour everywhere and stuff is because we are playing with the instruments we're playing with. If we were playing with real instruments, we would still be playing in our garages. You see what I mean? I mean, that's for me to be honest about our reality. But this is why we have to always challenge ourselves in fighting how we're going to be as musical as possible with the tiniest, most ridiculous instrument that actually we're going to make it sound good and make it sound grand because we're on a big stage with big sound and And so this is, for example, for the next show, Future 2000, that we're preparing, we're going to reintegrate an instrument that we haven't played for a while, which is the which is like a bird. It's like a, how do you call this? Pipo.
Oh, yes,
like
yes. Yeah, I know. That we used
in the street a lot, and we used in, I think, our first show. But we're going to bring it back for next show. So, and I don't remember which solo it's going to be, but we're not going to spoil it. Anyway.
Okay, very, very cool. Before we come back to that a bit later, when you're talking about your kind of live setup on stage, how does that work with the stylophone? Do you keep it unplugged? Do you plug it in? Do you add effects? How do you sort of make all of it work?
In the show we're playing right now, back to the 90s, we play it. Nico plays a Inter Sandman Metallica solo with it, and it doesn't have an effect.
Okay.
Maybe a bit of reverb. Yeah, maybe a bit of reverb. But in past shows, let me remember. I mean, we could, for example, Automaton, I actually plug it. It goes through a couple of pedals. But it really depends on the song. It depends on which effect we want to give it. We want to give, for example, the one you mentioned, the Rolling Stones, when we used to play it on stage, it was with no effect.
Okay.
And, but it's plugged because we actually need to be plugged. But I mean, it's not. We can in the street. It wasn't plugged, so we would just play it the way it was. So if tomorrow we want to go in the middle of the crowd and play it unplugged, we can do it. You know what I mean?
Okay. So it's very flexible depending on where you are and what you do.
We can do it, but now for the needs of the show, the way it is, because when he plays a solo, I'm actually banging on guitar playing Metallica. He needs to plug it. We're not gonna.
Okay.
But I mean, I don't know if there's a electricity cut and we need to, the show must go on, and we need to go to the Or for example, as he mentioned, the show before that was called the Stadium Tour. By the way, it wasn't a real stadium. Was just called the Stadium Tour.
Okay, all right.
But we played Bohemian Rhapsody, and the opera part was unplugged. Yeah, it was totally unplugged. So we played the three stylophone, the opera part, and the three stylophones were unplugged, and it was great. I think we have a video. If you check on our YouTube. We have a video where we're, I think, in a car, and we're playing this part with the three stylophones.
Very cool. Worth checking that out for sure. So it is kind of sort of dependent on the scenario then.
Yeah.
You've talked about kind of how you've had this progression from busking pubs to the stadium tours. What do you think is that secret sauce to your success as a band?
Yeah, I guess the whole combination, the fact that for sure the sense of humor has something to do with it. Mm-hmm. What Nico also mentioned, the energy that we put, because as Nico mentioned, when you play in the street, you really have to go get the people. So the energy we put, how we catch people, the sense of humor, the fact that we play on sometimes really ridiculous instruments and it still sounds, and also luck, of course. I mean, you have to be in the right place and in the right time. To actually start from playing in a pub to actually end up in a, like the theater we're playing now, which is pretty, pretty fancy. And just, you know, keep focus on what we do and how we do it, and keeping, you know, keeping the same energy as long as we can. I think, yeah, a bit of combination of everything.
Well, we come to the game portion of the show, which I call Stylophone Stylus Zone. So you're going to have up to a minute, and this is going to be Yusuf on his own, to come up with a funky beat on the beat and or a stylophone melody. Are you ready?
We are ready.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, go. Beep, 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 beep So, the future, you have very briefly mentioned your tour that you're planning for, is it next year? The next tour that you're doing, which is called Future 2000. Besides that, what can we look forward to? What's next for the Wackids? Are there any more videos? Any perhaps other members of the Stylofoam product range to be featured, or even more recorded releases?
All that you mentioned, but mainly today we're working on the next show, which is called Future 2000, which will be released in September 2024. So now we're actually rehearsing the new songs we're gonna play, and we're gonna have several moments next year where we're going to work on the same songs on stage, and also all the light setup, all the decor, and everything that we do when we create a new show, which more or less takes 2 years. And of course, since we're doing a new show, we're gonna record something related to the show. So we're gonna record maybe four, three or four songs in a disc that will be released a bit before the show. We actually launched a crowdfunding recently to
Oh,
help us
very
out
cool.
with this part. Yeah, with the recording of the disc. And as for videos and such, we will probably do new videos, but in maybe not now, because we're pretty busy with on finishing the actual show and start and organizing the other one. But yeah, it would be fun. We need to refresh a bit, have new ideas to see what we can do on new videos. But yeah, it could be it is something that we think about. As for Stylophones, we're actually going to use the new one, the latest, the new beat.
Oh.
We're actually in the new show, we're going to use both old and new beat, old for playing bass lines and beat, and the new one for playing the beat. The new one is incredible. And so
It
it's
certainly
gonna,
is, yeah.
yeah, there's really like a focus moment of the show where we're going to be with the Stylophones. And
Oh.
if we can do videos, we will. We just a question of finding the time and the good idea. That's what the future looks like. And in general, when we tour a show, it lasts like, yeah, 4 years. When there's COVID, it lasts 6 years, but normally it lasts like around 4 years. Yeah.
Well, that's so cool. You clearly, I can hear, put so much time, effort, and work into making this live show so spectacular and so special. And you're clearly very, very talented musicians, because it would take
Thank you.
very talented musicians to pull off what you do every single night. So hats off for that. And it's certainly been such a pleasure to speak to you, Yusuf and Nicholas.
Thank you.
And to hear more about your process as a group and the other things that you do and all things Stylophone that you do as well. Thank you so very, very much for speaking to me today, and have a wonderful show tonight.
Thank you very much,
Thank you,
Mary.
Mary.
And I would also like to thank Marcela from Dubrec and all the team from Dubrec to always support us and be behind us, because it's really precious for us.
If you're keen to find out more about the world of the Wackids, you can head to www.wackids.com or search at the Wackids on Instagram and YouTube for videos and news on how to support their Future 2000 crowdfunding campaign. If you enjoyed this episode, it would mean the world if you could give the podcast a 5-star rating and share the episode on social media, tagging me at Maury Dangerfield and the podcast at Sound of Stylus. You can find us on Instagram at Sound of Stylus and on YouTube by searching Sound of Stylus.